Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
I've always had a passion for IT and technology, the progression of cutting-edge tech, and I'm in that generation who saw the progression of the internet really as this kind of primitive geeky medium in the 90s, right up to what we see today, which is this socially accepted tool for communication, and it's become even more than anyone envisaged now. I think it's become like the sort of hub of people's everyday lives. We use the internet intrinsically as part of almost every activity we do as human beings. And what I'm starting to sort of sense now as I grow up, but also kind of get bored of certain elements of the net, really. It no longer becomes a novelty. It becomes part of the daily routine. One of the things that I've started to sense is that we kind of now live in a world where about 5 or 6 websites have literally become the centre of people's lives. So it's gone from the internet to a handful of sites, which is an interesting development, which was probably an inevitability, really, and it's certainly something that people predicted in the early days of the internet, this idea that what would eventually happen would be that people would stop browsing and start just going to one or two sites, and that's it. And we kind of see that now. I mean, when you think of the internet today, I mean, I certainly think it's quite difficult to think of the internet in terms of the old-fashioned computer 2000 style concept of the internet being this portal where you go and access bizarre websites that you know most people would never encounter, and you kind of have a bit of an adventure finding obscure little places and things. And it's kind of lost that now a little bit. I mean, you obviously can still do that, but really now people spend most of their time on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. They're the big three, I think, certainly from my perspective. There are obviously others. You've still got sites going strong like Yahoo and all these other kind of smaller versions of the big three. But I think it's kind of difficult to argue that really the internet now has become something that people perceive as really representing Google's empire and Facebook and things of that nature. And you've got these walled gardens within the internet where you've got corporations that basically have their own sub-internet, kind of like a walled garden variant of what other people can access. And that, we see that with things like Apple iTunes and app stores and the creation of these sort of sub-networks. And what I've started to sort of see now, and I kind of grow tired of it and more wary of it, really, is the internet and these websites are now ingrained in common culture to such an extent that it actually becomes the subculture in and of itself. So what I mean by that is I have often been slightly repelled and repulsed by going to these alternative meetings, and basically everyone talks in terms of, we need to tweet, we need to put this on Facebook, we need to post about this, we need to like this, and they mean it in terms of, we need to click the like button on Facebook. It all evolves around these websites, which are constructs, which are the creation of, well, there's two arguments. The first is that they're the created by geeks in California or wherever, computer nerds that had an agenda and ended up making a fortune and changing the world, or the other view is that this is all part of an agenda, and that's sort of like the Alan Watt style theory, which is that basically none of this came into fruition or came into being by itself. What actually happened was it was all created in the first place as some sort of major plan by the intelligence communities to infect the youth and to prevent splinter movements from really forming and grassroots things from being created. And I'm starting to believe that, I have to say. And I mean, I have a Facebook account, and I mean, we have a group on Facebook for the information. We don't really promote it a lot. We kind of have a guarded approach to it, which I think is right. But I'm now kind of entering into that mindset where I'm beginning to wonder if actually I want to have any part in this new paradigm, because that's really what it is. It's a paradigm shift. We're seeing society move towards this hyper-technological world where everything can be done at the touch of a button, and it's all very well and good, but I think people forget that actually a lot of this arguably was superior 10 years ago in many respects, because we didn't have these walled gardens. We had a slightly more kind of, how to explain it really, a slightly more free and open internet. And the internet is still obviously free and open, but I think we are entering into a world now where we will actually see less freedom and we will see more control. And YouTube's a prime example of that. You know, YouTube, I remember when YouTube launched back in 2005, and I actually remember the week it launched. And I, funnily enough, I was looking for a video sharing website at the time, and there didn't really seem to be anything around. And I kind of found it quite frustrating, because I had all these videos I wanted to host and share, and nothing really existed. And in a very weird kind of psychic, almost collective experience, where I really did feel like some odd sense of a subconscious sort of impact on reality, if you like, in a weird turn of events, during that week of me kind of pottering around trying to find a website that would host videos, YouTube was launched. And it was almost like a button was pressed. And it felt to me at the time, which is obviously very egotistic, and I'm not saying this is at all the case, but it felt to me at the time like I willed something into existence through the very act of spending 3 or 4 hours trying to find a video sharing site. And I was genuinely angry at the time. I was thinking, why isn't there anything like this in existence? It just seems silly. But it launched, and then YouTube in its early days was a very primitive website. People forget that. It was very primitive. And people didn't really use it a lot. It took about a year for it to really take off. And in those days, you could get away with anything. You could upload anything. But as time progressed, it started to get more and more locked down. That's what I'm saying. Google now obviously own it, and they have very, very clever algorithms that will detect copyrighted material, copyrighted music. They will add playlists, names of artists to your videos almost instantaneously the moment you upload them if you're using copyrighted music. All these very clever features of YouTube now, very clever, very impressive, but they, you know, it's all about control and it's all about locking it down. And I see Facebook now becoming, it's almost now entered into the realms of being something more than a website, really. You certainly see people who are a little bit too young to sort of remember what I do, which is that, I mean, like I say, I'm of that generation where we saw the internet kind of come into fruition, come into existence, go from being the days of 56k dial-up to being the days of broadband in every household. But you, the generation that's coming in slightly ahead of me now, behind me, is that generation that don't really remember any of that because they were too young. And what they now perceive is this world where it's just the norm to have social media and Twitter and all this stuff, and they take it for granted, and they know of no other reality. And Facebook is the kind of prime example of this, really. But I mean, there have been others in the past, MySpace, etc. But I think with Facebook, it really kind of caught on and became this standard, which doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And when you go on Facebook, I mean, my perception of Facebook really is that it's basically just a kind of portal for self, for kind of self promotion, and it's just this place where you feel like you can just show off and try and impress people with pictures of your holidays and nights out, and it just stinks to me of ego, and it stinks to me of self-centered thoughts, really, and it doesn't promote, really, it doesn't really promote anything, it doesn't advance anything. And there was a time when I kind of felt that maybe it could act as a way to form groups and to create discussion, and it absolutely doesn't do that. It erodes discussion, and it creates this sort of fast food mentality when it comes to media consumption. So people can just upload YouTube links and pictures of their holidays, like I say. Everything's a big joke. Nothing's taken seriously on Facebook. And that kind of brings me to my point, really, which was the point I was heading towards with this episode, which is to say that I think the internet and this paradigm actually just promotes a sense of everything just not being taken seriously. Nothing's really important. It's all a big joke. Everything is basically eroded down to the level of a like status on Facebook, or a comment, or how many views you've had. And it kind of, for me anyway, it's sort of disenchanting. I always thought that we were heading towards somewhere quite special when it came to the internet. And Terence McKenna, the late psychedelic pioneer, and you name it, he was a sort of, as I'm sure most of you are aware, he was a sort of granddaddy of a lot of the psychedelic movement and alternative thinking in the 90s. He always had very interesting things to say about the internet, because obviously it was around in the 90s and he was really pushing it back then, and really kind of embracing cutting edge things at the time, like the first sort of 3D chat rooms and all this kind of thing. But he always predicted that the internet would take us to these realms of kind of psychedelic reality. And I do almost see that. And I mean, I see it in MMO games. And for those who aren't familiar, an MMO game is a massively multiplayer online game. So in other words, it's a game you play with other people. But it's the scale of it is huge. It's you're not talking 10 or so people. You're talking hundreds and sometimes thousands of other players. And there are games that I play where I do actually get a psychedelic sense that I am actually in almost like an alternative reality. But it's still very grounded in reality. I mean, it's still based on hard restrictions and the ability of people's broadband connections and all these other stat factors. And it's all ultimately controlled by corporations. So there doesn't really seem to be much going on now. I mean, I think the internet is a fantastic tool, and I use it daily, and I would despise reality without it, because I think it does so much for us. But on the flip side, I feel that we now take it for granted to such an extent that it's consumed like fast food, and it's just throwaway everything. It's just nothing serious. I mean, and people are so spoilt for choice now. I mean, and that is a problem with sites like YouTube. They offer you so much, but at the same time, you're overwhelmed now to the point where you don't actually know what you want to watch. And I mean, it's got to the point with me now and choice when it comes to media consumption, where I actually am so overwhelmed by choice that I choose not to actually watch anything half the time. And that is something that I find. I mean, things like Netflix are fantastic, but sometimes you are overwhelmed and you're like, well, actually, I don't know what I want to watch because I can't make up my mind, so I'm actually just not going to watch anything. And I mean, that may just be me. I mean, I'm sure there are other people that feel that. But I see the value in all this stuff, but at the same time, I worry that it is changing the way we think as a species collectively. And I feel that we're falling into the trap, perhaps, that has been set for us, which is this sense that they've supplied us with this great technology, these websites, these means of communication, but they've done it intentionally. People argue that it all happens as a result of fate and people being very creative, the Mark Zuckerbergs of this world, etc. But I no longer buy that. I do feel that Alan Watt and the Alex Joneses of this world are probably right when they say that actually what's happening is that this is all stuff that's been given to us by intelligence communities, by people with an agenda. And what is that agenda? Well, I think it's quite obvious. It's the dumbing down of society. It's turning everything from serious political discussion to what's happening in the news to our daily jobs, our relationships, etc. It's turning all of that on its head and saying it's all a big joke, and you know, promote it on Facebook, and it just kind of make it light. You know, don't be serious about anything. And that's really what I see now, and I see it more and more. And I've had enough really of social media, really. And I mean, Twitter's another one. I mean, Twitter's an interesting site. In many ways, it's far more interesting than Facebook, because what I like about Twitter is it is really like a hive mind. And you know, people use Twitter in ways that are interesting, but I don't think many people realise that actually Twitter can be used almost like a sort of way of tapping into collective consciousness now, where you get a sense that, like, I mean, what I tend to do a lot of the time is if there's news on, I want a feel for the story. So you just run a search on Twitter for a keyword, that being the event in question, such as Libya, during the war in Libya last year. And your influx with live messages coming through, tweets, and the real-time thoughts, reflections, perspectives. And after sort of scanning it for, you know, it doesn't take long, a couple of minutes, you do genuinely develop a feel for what people are thinking about an event. And in a very real way, you do actually start to sense a kind of collective view on something, which is a very interesting tool. And it does feel like something quite incredible, actually. And I don't think many people realise that that's a way to use Twitter. And there are lots of social media upstart companies have developed algorithms that tap into all that stuff. I mean, the London Olympics was a prime example where they got a company in who provided a kind of algorithm that gave the organising committee real-time information about what people thought of an event or how things were going, such as the opening ceremony, etc. And it was very interesting to see. And I kind of viewed a lot of that at the time. In some ways, I found it more interesting than the Olympics, in many ways. But what I'm getting at is this stuff's great, but it's pushing us in a direction that I think the technology wants us to go in. And what I think we need to try to do is use it, but keep on the track that we've been on as a species, which is that we're advancing, we're heading for the stars. You know, we're not debasing everything to downgrading it to the status of a like on Facebook or to a wall post. And I see it more and more. I mean, I have friends that are so obsessed with things like Facebook now that they won't really go out. And to them, like a day is a good day if they've got, you know, five comments on their wall from people. And there's been South Park episodes about this kind of thing. It's not new, you know, it's not a new perspective, I know that much. I'm not really bringing anything new to the table by talking about this. But I just feel it needs to be said, and the more it's said, the more I think people will begin to perhaps just take another look at the social media situation and just maybe be a little bit more cautious. I mean, that's certainly my perspective now. I'm being more cautious about things when it comes to sharing personal information. And my Facebook now is very inactive. I go on it to monitor, really. I never really contribute. I don't really post anything. I might occasionally like a status, but it's very rare, because most of the time all I see is people looking for attention. A lot of the time, fair enough. But I feel that a lot of the time it literally is like fishing for attention. It's like, I need somebody to like this comment. and it's worrying. It's a worrying trend, and I don't know where it's taking us as species, but I just feel that it's altering the way people perceive reality in a negative, very negative way. So I guess the only other thing I really want to add to this is to say that from my perspective, we're kind of now living in a world where we are obviously heading up to 2012, I mean the end of 2012, i.e. the December 21st, end of May in calendar period. And I just think we need to remember that these tools are here, and they represent more than just websites now. They are very ingrained in the way people think and go about their daily lives, and they're at the centre a lot of the time of the news and media. And I just think we need to tilt the use of these tools in a different direction. We need, instead of using them in the way we use them at the moment, we need to start trying to be a little bit more serious. And I mean, Alex Jones talks a bit about how in the 60s and in the 70s, people had a spark in their eyes. They had electricity. They were on fire. You know, they lived their lives in a very real way. And I feel like we are losing that. And I see that in people, you know, people of my generation, people younger, people older. It doesn't really matter, I don't think. No one seems to be living their life in the way that perhaps I used to. Everyone's just very docile, and overwhelmed, I think, really is the word I'd use more than docile. I just think just so overwhelmed by what's happening that they just shut down a little bit. And it's like, if you only have two choices in life, you feel like making a decision is a clear-cut case of A and B. If you've got 50 choices to make, it's tougher to make a decision. And then if you do make that decision, you're spending forever thinking, was that the right decision? You know, it blurs things, and it becomes like swimming in an ocean, and the water's denser and denser and denser, and you feel like you're sinking into it a little bit. And I think that's kind of what's happening in society, because we're so hammered with choice now, consumption, and we need to just stick to something. And that's kind of what I like to do online. When I go online, I stick to one direction. Like I go on with an aim, stick to the aim, don't get lost in links and heading off in different directions on tangents. And I feel like that's what they want. I feel like that's they just want a society of people that have all the choice in the world but haven't got the intelligence or the will to actually make an educated decision half the time. They're too blind by choice, by option. So that's the internet for you. It's a great tool, but I just feel like it's almost become this hypnotic tool now that's drawing us into this realm of debasing everything down to a wall post, a tweet. And I just think we need to watch out for that.
Where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.